And it says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. When it comes down to metalwork, the hammer can do several different things. Right? The hammer can be used to punish the metal, to straighten it out, to clean it up. The hammer can be used to destroy something. But hammers can also be used to strike something, like how they used to do with their coins. When they would strike an image onto the coin, they would hit it with that hammer, and in that hammer would be the image, and it would lay there, and that would be the brand new coin of whatever government was going on. But one thing can be true and said, that when the hammer falls, whatever it hits is going to change. I've got a 25-pound hammer sitting back at the rental house I got to go get. But it's a 25-pound hammer. And the guys that were helping us move, they picked it up and they were playing with it, going, wow, this is pretty big. And they were talking about how heavy it was. And he said this, he goes, I would not want to drop it on my toes. And I go, yeah, man, I didn't think about that till just now, but you would not want to drop that on your toes. You wouldn't want to drop it on anything, because whatever that hits when it falls is going to be forever changed. What we're reading about here is the end. We're talking about here eternity. When there is no longer earth, there is just heaven and hell. And when that hammer falls, he says, behold, I come quickly. When that hammer falls, will change and will not change. As it says here, what we are is what we will be. Verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In that day, there will be no changing from what we are. So if you're going to change, you got to do it now. If there are things to be done, they must be done now. Because you can't fix them later. Right? They talk about that in video editing. Well, we'll fix it in post. We'll fix it with CGI. We'll do this and do that. You hear stories all the time about actors who went on to be in other things and they had to come back and their bodies changed or their facial hair changed. So they had to add something in there and it looked goofy if you really pay attention to it, right? We are not going to be fixed when all is said and done. What we are is what we are. Now here's the kicker though, the thing that must be considered from the top to the bottom of this message is that you have no idea when. He says, I come quickly. He says it twice in our reading here. Behold, I come quickly. Now we would say that he said this pert near 2,000 years ago. So I would say no matter when he's coming, it's got to be soon. Now, of course, God, he doesn't see time the way we do. We see time very slow because all we've got is 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. To him, he's an eternal being. Time don't mean nothing to him. But one day he will come. There'll be no warning. There will be no 5-minute heads up. There will be nothing written in the newspaper. There'll be nothing on the news. You'll log into Facebook. It's going to say nothing about it. He will come without warning. And even if so, even if you live to a ripe old age, even if you die, you have no idea when that could be. I was walking through the cemetery yesterday, and I paid attention to the dates as I walked by, knowing I was preaching this sermon. Some of those dates were really close together. Some of them were really far apart. Only God knew when each and every one of those was going to take place. Each and every one of those grave markers marked a life that ended while everybody else was surprised. Will it be today? Will it be tomorrow? Some passed and we had no idea that they were even that close to that mark. Young people, old people, it doesn't matter. When the hammer falls, you're stuck the way you are. Once you enter into eternity, there is no going back. Look at verse 9 with me. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, referring to him worshiping the angel. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Now he identifies himself, right? He's correcting them, but correcting John, but he's identifying this. He goes, I am of them which keep the sayings of this book. Verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Folks, if ever there was a time, and by the way, it was always time, but if ever there was a time to unleash the book, it's now. Now again, I would never point to you a time where we shouldn't have, but there is less of an excuse now than we ever had. I'm telling you, we need to be preaching the Word. We need to let the Word of God have say in this world. We need to be the ones carrying it. The angel itself sat there, I am just among you. I am a keeper of the sayings. Well, the sayings, they're not all that well received. The sayings, they seem so old-fashioned. They seem so despondent to the world. They're tone deaf to what's going on today. Oh, no. They're exactly what the world needs. The problem is what you need is warning. What you need is to be told that the trouble is coming. What the world wants is they want to not believe that God has a say. They don't want to believe that God's going to have the final say in all things that happen. They want parties. They want life. They want to just have to live it up. They want to be high. They want to have all the things. They want to live a sinful life. And they sit there and they see the Word of God and they say, this does not help me give me everything I want. This does not help me justify all the things I want to do. And of course, they think that it's tone deaf because it wasn't written for them to do what they want to do. It was written to warn them about what happens when they do what they want to do. It was written to warn them. We ought to keep the sayings. We ought to not seal the words. Many of us, that's what we do. We come to church, we hear the Word preached, we'll sit in our chairs, we will read the Word, we will be moved by the Word, but we'll keep it silent in our lives. Either by action or lack of giving the gospel, we seal it. Now what John was being told here was this. There were some things that John was allowed to share. Some things that John was not allowed to share. Some things that John could share. And the angel tells him, don't seal this. You give this book. Some things you don't write down, but this, you don't seal what I told you to write down. You don't seal the things Jesus told you to write. Get them out there. Let people know to work fervently. To keep the Word dutifully. Why? Because the day is coming. The day is coming when there's no longer time. There was that old song, Plenty of Time. And the singer goes through in the words, oh, I've got plenty of time to decide on Christ. I've got plenty of time to change my life. I've got plenty of time to obey God. And he talks about this as the years go by. And finally he dies. There was no time. There was no time. For some of us, it'll come quickly with the blast of the trumpet and the return of Christ. For some of us, we'll fall ill. We'll have a few weeks. But our strength will leave us. There'll be no energy. There'll be no ability to contact to get all those things done. Why? Because we're winding down. And for some of us, it'll happen so fast we don't even have time to contemplate it. You do not have plenty of time. Well, what if? You don't know what if. You don't know what if. Sometimes I wish I knew how much time. Other times I'm glad I don't know how much time because I know how I could be. Well, if I've got 4 days left, I've got 4 days, right? If I've got 45 years, well, I can relax. I've got 45 of them left. And I could play around for 44 and spend that last year catching up. That's a hard way to live, isn't it? That's a hard way to work. That's a hard work day. I'll mess around for, you know, 7 hours, 7.5 hours, and in that last half hour I'll turn on the juice. That's a hard way to live. But that's exactly what we would do. We don't know. We need the word and we need it today. And we need to listen to the warnings. And we need to give the warnings. We talked about that this morning. Sometimes we just try to be so sinner friendly, we get dishonest about the word of God. I want to be so kind. I want to be so nice. Well, what do you think about this new agenda? What do you think about this new social movement? What do you think about this over here? Don't worry about what I think about it. Let's go to the Word. What does God think about it? I am a flawed man. I am somebody who doesn't have their full understanding yet. Let's go to the Word of God, which never fails. That's what you want to know. And this is what it says. That doesn't sound very nice. It doesn't have to sound nice. Warnings are not very nice all the time. They're not. Remember when you were a kid, your parents would call you? My mom, and she had an escalating thing. Boys, and you were kids, right? So what? We're playing. Boys, we're playing. Hey! Mom, here we come. We get over there, right? And we knew it too, and you probably had the same. When it was Matt, I had time. It was Matt Rowland. Running out of time. She put the whole three names in there. You better be on your way. Right? She better be able to see you in the next half second or you're getting it. Sit there. I saw my brother for the first time in a few years this weekend. And we just got to reminiscing with all the things, all the ways that we used to mess around. And I sit there and I look over at my boys and I go, oh, that's where it came from. You know, he's going to laugh about that stuff. All the trouble we put mom through. All the things that we did to mom and dad just to get under their skin. And you get that warning. All right, stop. Okay, but dad. No, stop. All right. But hey, dad. And then boom, that's it. We ain't got warnings, folks, when it comes down to the Lord, other than what we have to live by today. I've got plenty of warnings on how to live my life, but there will be no warnings. No warnings at all on to when the time is done. None. There will come a time when I have ignored what God said about sin for so long, it'll be too late for me to fix it. I'll have to stand before Him knowing that I never obeyed Him in that area. I'll have to stand before Him with very little to show for the things that I have done in my life. Plenty of warnings up until that point, but no warning of when that point is coming. We need the warnings. We need to heed the warnings. If we are lost, if we do not know Christ as our Savior, you could hear the gospel, hear the gospel, hear the gospel, but if you don't take it to heart, there will come a day when the warnings are gone. And I had plenty of time turned into where did all the time go? Where did it go? Many of the people over at Flat Rock have graduated in the last 4 or 5 years. These are kids that I held in my arms. And I'm sitting there, and I was checking in with some Flat Rock people. They came to the service, and they came to the viewing, and I was checking in with them. There was that youth leader. He gave me the Bible that I had for my ordination. He taught me as a child. I grew up, taught his children. And then when our kids started going, and they were old enough to do things, their kids taught my kids. We were like this. And so many of them are graduated now. So many of them have finished college. They've gone on to careers. And I tell you what, it is a joy to see, but it hits you. And of course, you know how it is when people refer to you with your kids, especially if theirs are crossing milestones. Don't blink, brother. It's around the corner. And it's true. There will come a time when I say, I wish y'all would be quiet. I wish you'd all be quiet. Why don't you guys just be quiet? Your noise, noise, noise. Toys everywhere. What's going on? And then one day I'm going to walk through that house and I'm going to go, hun, it sure is quiet. I wonder what the kids are doing. Hun, it sure is clean in here. We just cleaned up 3 days ago, and there's still no toys on the floor. That's weird. Sure is going faster to get the laundry done, right? Man, dishes don't take near as long as they used to, do they? And look, they're all right here in the sink area, not under the couch and on the roof and all the other areas you get stuff, you know? And it's going to happen like that. And all of a sudden, a huge chunk of your life is gone. We do not know how much time we have left. There is no such thing as plenty of time. The time to heed warnings is now. Well, we need to see here in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. There will be no salvation after you die. There is no changing after that point. It must be done now. If there is sin in our lives, things that must be repented of, there is a distance between us and God. If we don't know him at all, it must be settled now. Because we don't know. We see also in this passage, he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. That carries again the connotation back when there were clean animals and unclean animals. There are things that were holy and things that would degrade you, things that would be a problem. Those people that are degraded, those people that are filled with their sin, those people that are stuck in them will carry that on. Not that they will continue to live sinful lives. Those things will be passed away. We're talking about an eternity in hell with no opportunity to get it right. We will bear those things for all eternity if you don't get them taken care of now. We see this as well. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Which means this, for those that are saved, there is nothing that is going to happen. I hate that old cliche of you die and you get up there and you talk to St. Peter. Now listen, Peter may have made a lot of mistakes, but I don't think he deserved a punishment like that to sit there and talk to everybody who comes in through the door and try to judge whether or not. And you hear all those jokes about St. Peter up at the gate. I think Mark Lowry had one of my favorite ones, if I could tolerate them at all, that him and Bill Gaither were, he had a dream where him and Bill Gaither were running up a hill. And you know, Mark Lowry said because he was overweight, he got tired and slowed down. And Bill Gaither, being so excited and full of energy, said, come on, Mark, I'll carry you up there. And he throws Mark up on his back and he's carrying him up the hill. And he gets there and St. Peter, of course, recognizes Mark. He says, hi, Mark, how are you? He says, well, I know you, come on in, but you're going to have to leave your donkey outside. I like that joke, but I don't like that analogy. You want to know why? Because there is no test. There is no test like that. Does the blood cover him or does the blood not cover him? That's it. And the Lord doesn't need one who's passed already to sit there and gauge it. It is obvious to the Lord. Now we know it's good to be righteous. It's good to be saved. It's good to be made right. But folks, we better be living it now. If you're righteous, you better be righteous through and through. You better be acting right. So that's the thing. It is a gift to be made whole. It is a gift to be saved. It is something that we have not earned, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift. But do not take that gift for granted. Our Father, being the God of all, has given us things we do not deserve. And I kind of get the connotation that some of us are like the CEO's son who is given a high position but does not fulfill his responsibilities. If I am to be blessed, if I am to be gifted, I better be working hard. Works will not save me, but you better believe because you saved me, there will be work. There will be efforts. I will keep myself clean. I will do the work that you've called me to do, and I will do it as zealously as I possibly can. Because the lost will stay lost. The evil will stay evil. The saved will stay saved. And the holy will stay holy. And folks, there is no changing once you get there. There's no changing. There's no going back. There's no discourse that you can give. No argument that you can make. There's no appeal system. It is what it is when you close your eyes. It is what it is. The time to get things right is now. Verse 7 again, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We got to keep the sayings. We've got to abide by them. And that goes anywhere from salvation to the sanctification of our lives, to what we talk about in Sunday school class the last few weeks, separation, how we've lived, how sinful we act in there. We've got to get it right. Now again, when we go up to heaven, we're not going to bear those sins in. New bodies. Old, the body will stay here. All the ones that we've asked forgiveness for, washed away. That's not what we're talking about. If I'm a sinful saved person, I'll be a sinful person in heaven. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this. If you are lost, you will stay lost. If you're saved, you'll stay saved. But the manner of your purportment here on earth better reflect who you are. It better match who you are. Because otherwise, what are we? We are the hypocrites that you hear about out there in the world. Those churches, they're filled with hypocrites. They say one thing, but they do another. Yeah, it's called still being a sinner. But by the way, there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. Many a person in their sin has pushed many others out of church. Many people through their lack of integrity, many people through their evil inside of them, have pushed somebody else away from God. I'm saying don't be guilty of it. Because he's coming quickly. If you're lost, submit to Christ. If you're saved, submit to Christ. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. There's coming a point when the hammer falls. When the hammer falls. Now, can I ask you a question? What decides? Now, I like that up in Frankenmuth. I know some of our folks that go to the thing up in Frankenmuth where you work with the metal, right? I would love to do that. That'd be fun. I haven't done it yet. One of these days I'm going to go up there and I'm going to do that. But what decides how the blacksmith hits the metal? Does the metal get to decide? Nope. Does the hammer decide? Nope. The blacksmith decides. He decides when, how often, and where that hammer is going to fall. Just like our God in heaven, he decides when the last day will be. He will institute the issuing into eternity. It'll be him that brings forth the rapture, him that brings forth the tribulation, him that brings forth the millennial reign, and finally him that enters us into an eternity without anything else. He decides when the hammer falls and how it falls. Jesus said himself, I am the Alpha and Omega. That is the beginning letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. I am the beginning, I am the end, and you better believe he is everything in between. The Bible itself calls him the Word. Who decides? Who decides how the hammer falls? Who decides what we will be? It's him. Or what we should be, it's him. It's him. You think we're going to have a court of opinion up there? You think that the Lord's going to sit there and put our lives out there on Twitter for them to decide? You think he's going to sit there and call together the American Supreme Court for you to stand in front of and decide whether or not you broke any laws? I tell you what blogger, social media influencer, politician, philosopher, professor do you think he's going to have sit next to him to judge your life? It'll be none of those things. It'll be the Word. It will be the Word. And it won't be about what kind of car you drive. It won't be how many friends you had. It won't be the size of your wine closet. It'll be none of those things, but how you lived by the Word. And there'll be two of those judgments, by the way. One's going to be real simple. You covered by the blood? Nope. Covered by the blood? Nope. Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart. No, you don't understand. I went to church for 35 years of my life. I was faithful. Went to everyone. I opened my wallet every Sunday. I opened my toolbox every workday. I was there, but you never were saved. Depart from me. No, you don't understand. I brought in millions of dollars into the church. I flew my private jet all over the place. We gave water and the gospel to millions of people. There are millions of people that I attribute to my ministry. Depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about the blood. And is it on you? That's what matters. He knew me. He knew me. And I tell you what, that's who the Lord is. That's what matters. We see in this, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. There's another judgment. And we've talked about this a little bit lately, where the things that we do, things that we've done, will be brought forth to the Lord. And it doesn't say it in Scripture, but in my mind, my concern is that every failure that I've had, every sin that I did not conquer, every act that I could have done will play through my head when I sit there in front of Him. And even though it is strictly about the work that I have done, and it will not be about my sin, I think it will be a thought that will cross our minds as we stand before the holiest of all holies. I do. We must keep in mind that when He comes, not only is He the deciding factor, but the rewards will be based on how we kept the book. When the hammer falls, that'll be the difference between being stamped for currency and being destroyed and put back in to the fire. Verse 14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Ultimately, who are we submitting to? Are we submitting to Christ? Are we submitting to the Lord? The word submission is not a very popular word nowadays. But what we fail to realize is that you're going to submit to something. You really are. Well, no, I'm wild and I'm free and I'm independent. Okay, well, where'd you get those shoes? Oh, I saw it on the internet yesterday. There's this lady, some movie star, she had them. I found it on sale. Look at that. Oh. Well, no, it's not like she told me what to do. I saw it and I liked it and I did it. Yeah. Now I saw that you did that. I saw that you did that there. Where'd you get that from? Oh, you know what? I was listening on a podcast last week, and this guy talked about this trick that I could do out in the garden, and I went out and I tried it, and it worked great. Okay, gotcha. Hey, like, can I recommend this book, this great financial book? Really? Did you try it? Yeah. Okay. I ain't against any of those things. I like books. I like podcasts. I like learning new tricks and tips and things like that. Invigorates the mind, keeps you going. It's good. But you're lying if you say you don't submit to stuff. Well, that's not what I think about submission. Well, that's not what the Lord says about submission either. He tells you how to live. You pick it up because you know it's true and you do it. Right? What's a red light do? Red light tells you to stop. What do? You stop. You submit to authority of the government to put the light there. Well, no, you don't understand. If I didn't stop, I'd get T-boned. That's what the Lord's trying to tell you. Okay, well, all right, well, and not just that, but they'll give me a ticket. That's what the Lord's trying to tell you. The same government that put the stop sign there will come back and get you if you don't abide by it. And that's exactly what he's saying. I gave you the rules. You don't follow the rules. I'll come for you. Or the thing I'm warning you about will come for you. Either way, something's coming for you. We need to be able to understand that. I think as a society, we've lost the commonality between, or we lost the effect of cause and effect. We've lost the understanding of cause and effect. That's what I'm going for. We forget. And what we do is we put it off. And we put it off, and we put it off. You know, I'll get it right eventually. I'll get it, but not today. Today I'm stressed. I tell you what, I've been stressed since, 7, 8 years old. There's always been stuff to do, right? I tell you what, once I get through high school, I'll be okay. I remember telling myself that line. Maybe you guys are doing the same thing. I get through high school, man, I'm going to relax a little bit. What comes after high school, either work or college, and either way, you ain't relaxing. I remember I was out junior, senior year. I am so excited to be done with school. It's going to be amazing to be. I hate school, man. Then you realize school's a lot nicer than work is. Right? I've never sat there with a teacher that said, all right, guys, we're going to stay here for a few extra hours. I've had many a boss do that. Going to be a 12-hour day today, guys. Oh, okay. All right. Then I've had some bosses go, it's just going to be a 12-hour day today. We're booting y'all out early. Let's say we look forward to things. Oh man, when I get done with this stress, then I'll. When I get out of high school, then I'll take a serious look at the Lord. You know what? Right before we have kids, that's when we're going to take it seriously. I got a buddy right now, got out of church when he was in high school. Tries to get back into church now that he's got kids. Oh, I got kids. I gotta take them to church. I gotta drop them off at church. What's that? We're doing church camp. I gotta send them to church camp. I gotta get my kids in there. Well, what about you? You know what? When I get closer to retirement, then I'll take it. Then I'll slow down, get active in church. Maybe then I'll listen to the preacher when I retire. Now, many of you, you are retired. Some of you haven't slowed down. The stress is always there. The work is always there. The responsibility is always there. What you don't know will be there is whether or not time will always be there. Do it now. Submit now. I tell you what, there's nothing like a funeral to bring up the idea of regrets. If only. Oh man, if only I'd have done this, if only I'd have done that, if I would have just taken a little bit more time, if I would have said this instead of that, what if? What if is a hard way to live again? Do it now. Because I tell you what you're not going to be able to do, you're not going to be able to sit there and say, Lord, I was going to, because he won't buy it. Behold, I come quickly. We didn't tell me how quickly. I did. Quickly. We didn't tell me when. Yeah, you would have procrastinated to the last minute. But I had kids. I had job. I had responsibility. The disciples had all those things. They had all those things. And they still served. And they still put him first. I tell you what, there were people that lacked health in the Bible accepted Christ. There are people who lacked the mentality. Think about that demoniac. He had no mind capacity at all, accepted Christ, and his life changed. So many people had given up on him. So many people had refused to go near him because of his insanity, but it took Christ. And I tell you what, I'm sure that he would have wished that salvation came a whole lot earlier. You think about that one. There were 10 lepers healed. One went back. There was no guarantee that how long that leper was going to live. That disease is an awful way to live. When he goes back and the Lord saves him right then and there, those are the things he could have done. A family he could have gone back and claimed. There was a priest that he was supposed to go present himself to. I mean, all the comforts of the city that he had been denied, he could have gone to, but he ran to Christ. That ought to be us. If you are lost, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are saved, you better be acting like you're saved. Because the blessings go to those that obeyed. The blessings goes to those that do His commandments, verse 14 says. That they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You know, we've been thinking a lot about the end times and we look at all the stuff. Every time it gets rowdy in the world, we start talking a little bit more about the end times. But there is a day past that we ought to be more concerned about. What will eternity be for us? I think about, Lord, I know I've thanked you 1 million times. But since this is the 1 millionth and 1 year that we're here, I want to thank you again. Remember back when there was this thing you asked me to do and everything you told me to do, I could do out of nowhere. And everything that I needed to get that done was always there. I gave somebody this testimony. Well, what's it been like since you've been out there? I go, every time there's a place I know I'm supposed to put my foot, there's something there to catch me. I go, it gets scary, it gets wild, but I tell you what, I know no matter what he asks me to do, I'm going to be able to do it. And he's promised it to me, and I can trust in it because he's promised to me, but I have practiced it, and he's never failed. I've never had to sit there up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, well, how are we going to get this done? Because I know the Lord. My wife and I, we had a saying, and we've had a saying for quite a while when it came down to things. I think it started roughly around the time we found out about Xander. Well, what are we going to do? I was working two jobs. She was, I can't remember where she was working at the time. But how are we going to do this? We were making a lot of money. Right? That was back when you were allowed to pay people $9 an hour. Right? What are we going to do? I don't know, but the Lord ain't ever failed us yet. And guess what? New job, raise. Right? Then we found out about little Caspian. Lord, what are we going to do? Well, he's always taking care of us. So here we go. Guess what? Another promotion. Another raise. New job. Gideon, guess what? Same thing. Hey, and let me tell you about what happened right before Melody was born. For those of you that weren't here, that was when the Lord brought me here. Now, Don't get me wrong. That's not how you make more money is having kids. That's not what I'm saying. But everything that I've ever needed, the Lord's provided. Hey, we've got this surgery coming up. What are we going to do? I don't know. The Lord ain't failed me yet. Hey, listen, there's this issue over here with the rental. There's this situation over here with the house. There's this problem with the car. I don't know. He never failed me yet. The last time we had a car completely die on us, my father-in-law the day before had decided that they were going to sell the red Escape that I drive around. And I had gotten I can't remember what it was, but I had gotten some kind of a refund back from something that gave me just the asking price that he was asking for it. Obey him now. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. You don't got them. Because every time I've needed to put my foot somewhere, there's been something for me to put my foot on. Now, is it always pretty? No. I mean, that Escape is old. I'll drive that car into the ground, though. Don't you touch it. love that car. I do. It's not opulent. It's not $1 million. It's what you need. And all the joy and all the blessings that come along the way. And yeah, sometimes there are weeks of heavy budgeting, right? But there's food. And you know there's food. And there's those in the way, there's those in the area that can come by and give advice and to help out. And hey, this is what you should do. And hey, this will save you a little bit of money. And hey, have you thought about this? There is no excuse to not serve the Lord. We've got it in everything. You understand? Which makes it even harder when we refuse to obey the truth. Ah, I tell you what, you serve the Lord like that, and you not be able to have all the things you want. What is it that you really want that the Lord won't let you have? There are so many things, so many wonderful things that we can have. You know, some people, they like their vacations. They like to take vacations. Well, I've got my in-laws. They got a little vacation property. They go up to the vacation property, come on down to church. Sometimes they don't make it over there. They'll come over here, and that's fine. They can do it. There are some folks that they like particular hobbies, and they're not necessarily sinful hobbies, but they keep them in check. I've known people, they like to do sports. They like to do things like that, but you better believe that they're sitting right there in church when it's time to be in church. They can do those things. If you really think about it, the only things you're not allowed to do are the sinful things. And if that bothers you, you need to check in with yourself. You really do. Why do I want those things? Why do I need those things? Oh, but I'll be so depressed if I don't have them. That is a child's complaint. You understand that, right? As me taking the food away from Melody and what do? I use that. I told somebody about that. Right? Why? Well, see, here's the thing about my little girl, and I love her, and she's the most precious little girl on the entire planet. But my little girl's a sinner. I can take that away from her, and she's going to throw a fit. And she is the only one of my kids at that age that threw a proper tantrum. Beating the floor, smacking her head off of stuff. She does it good. She does it good. I always say, hey, ever see those kids at the store? My concern is that we're headed there. But I go and I told her, I go, I have a choice. Now she has ate a full meal. The bowl is empty. I can go and I can get her more and keep feeding her until she is satisfied, or I can give her what is healthy and then be done. And she's going to be upset. She's going to be mad right up until she finds something else to interest her. Yep. That is the way we see money. Oh, but I'll be so upset. Oh, you don't understand what that'll do to me if I can't have the liquor, if I can't have this kind of relationship, if I can't be doing this. It'll just kill me. It won't. It won't. As a matter of fact, I can point to several sins that people say they can't live without that will kill you, that will affect your life, that you don't want to stand before the Lord with. The time to do it is now. Because I'll tell you this, when the hammer falls, when it's no longer I come quickly and it's I'm here, there'll be no change. There'll be no time to appeal. And I think so many folks, that's what they want. They want, man, if you could just show me evidence. Man, if religion was just a little bit more popular, I'd tell you what, if I could see Jesus himself, then I would believe. You see, Jesus, it's too late. It's too late. And the book of Revelation, it's like your side view mirror. The objects in it are closer than they appear. We've got to be careful. We've got to work now. And if we are lost, now is the time. Because we don't know how much more of that we have. Heavenly Father,